Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about heaven and hell and modern science. And before we do that, I want you to understand, or at least keep in mind, that to believe in Christ can be idolatry if the Christ you believe in is a false image of Christ. Understanding that, we'll go back to our original discussion on the idea of light and darkness. And that will lead us into an understanding that modern science believes that there is a heaven and hell, but they dare not call it that. But we'll always bring it back to the message of Christ and what he was actually telling us and how the kingdom of heaven works, and even reveal some of those mysteries. But of course, you won't understand those mysteries without that divine revelation in you. In Matthew 4:16, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." The shadow of death doesn't sound like it is completely dark. It is less than light. And of course, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the Song of Solomon, we see in chapter 8, verse 6, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arms. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame." This seal is on our heart and on our arms. This is the same as to say in spirit and in truth. This idea that we have not only hear the word, but doeth the work of the Father is a repeated idea over and over again in the Bible, that God is a doer. He is not a hearer only. He is a God of action, and therefore, if we are made in his image, we also are people of action. So the idea that you can be saved by works, no, you cannot be saved by works. In other words, you can't do enough to be saved. But if you are not working, then your faith is alive, because faith without works is dead. So in Romans 13:10, we say, "Loveth worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." What is love? Isn't it the giving of life? "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Darkness and light. There's those ideas again of light being the good, and darkness being less than light is not good. And that is the difference between Satan, who is a light bearer, and God, is that God is the source of light. And we see in the biblical text that there was a division in heaven, where there was one group followed after Satan, a third of the angels followed after Satan, and they were cut off from the light, just like we see with Cain, where Cain goes out of the presence of God. So did a group go out of the presence of God, separate itself, and become this other group. And we call, they dwell in hell. We call it hell. We have images of hell. And our images may not be 100% accurate. And we have images because they are images created in our mind by ideas. And we have an image of heaven. And that may not be 100% accurate either. I can guarantee you that it is not. But the fact that there is this realm called heaven, this realm we call hell, and we're going to talk more about that. But guard yourself from eating from the tree of knowledge, that try to understand the precepts involved, the principles involved. In Psalm 73:25, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? and there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. This is a prayer to this other realm, this other world of heaven, and that there are those in heaven, God is in heaven, and the minions of God who are servants of God, and Christ who is one with God. Also, now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. In Matthew 13:11, when Jesus was talking about parables, and they were asking him why he always spoke in parables, he says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So we understand, to understand these mysteries of this realm that is called heaven, that is connected somehow with this world, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Christ pulls back the veil. And we'll see how this all begins to fit. But others fell, in Luke 8:8 it says, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some and a hundredfold, and some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So there is this idea that it is important that we bear fruit, but they are not, it will not all be the same with everybody. And that's okay. It's the fact that they bear fruit. And again, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear, and he who has eyes to see, let him see. Those who say they see already, well, maybe their sin remaineth, like Jesus said to in his parables. But it was this mysteries of the kingdom that they mentioned in Luke 8:10 and in Matthew 13:11, that was given unto them so that they would understand, and other people only got parables that expressed the same precept upon precept, but did not give them the detail. Well, we're going to give you some of the detail, or at least what men imagine to be some of the details, although they don't correlate it with heaven. In 1 Corinthians 4:1, we see, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So, in order to be stewards of the mysteries of God, you need to almost know them. And again, I don't believe you'll really know them except by revelation, but we're going to talk about them. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Did God create hell? It didn't say that. It said the heaven and the earth. And we were made in his image. And we live in this world. Now we go back to science and listen to some of the scientists. Albert Einstein suggested the mechanics of relativity. Newton had solved the clockworks and mathematics of creation to some degree, at least gravity and things like that. But Einstein gave that clock a personality, a relativism. And but his idea of the theory of relativity didn't really explain everything. And he understood it before he could explain it in mathematics. He went back to mathematics because men without understanding of the precepts, not without divine revelation, can not understand the kingdoms of the universe, except sometimes in the language of mathematics. And so they use mathematics to discuss these things because of the fact that they cannot just see them. They don't really have the eyes, but they have the math. In Galatians 1:11, we see, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man. That's what he's saying. He didn't receive it of man, but this revelation. Now, if you look up that word revelation, it means to pull back a veil, to uncover. And that's how do we have eyes to see into this other realm of understanding? How is this veil pulled back? How are we kept from seeing what we need to see? Are we actually seen into another realm, and that's where we get the understanding? Because God has pulled back a veil between us and them. And how do we draw near that veil so it may be pulled back and we may see? And how are we drawn away from that veil so that we see into darkness instead of into light? In Matthew 16:17, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to him," meaning Simon, "Blessed art thou." He says, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father in heaven." And it was upon this revelation that he was going to build his church. This power of revelation in the hearts and mind, writing upon your hearts and upon your minds directly. Now, in the idea of parallel dimensions, which has become more and more popular in modern science, and when the scientists talk about quantum theories, that began to explain a lot of those questions that the theory of relativity didn't quite do. But even quantum physics brings the perception of individuals and collectives. And it was when they still didn't have all the answers. And they asked questions like, why is gravity so weak? And why do they call these black holes so-called black holes? Why do they see them radiate if they're black holes? What are they radiating? What's really going on? And they get these theories, but everything doesn't fit. And so they tried to fit them together. And so they came up with a theory called string theory. And it was very popular for a while, but then it started falling out of popularity. And then there also was heavy gravity. And that had a theory, but that fell out with string theory. And then when string theory fell out, some were starting to edge their way back to heavy gravity. But heavy gravity required multiple dimensions. And when they started doing the math and started making more and more discoveries and creating these colliders, which would show them things that they couldn't see otherwise, and with the instruments to see and observe nature in a more finite condition, they decided that there had to be multiple dimensions, and they started adding dimensions, and eventually they came up with it had to be at least 10 of these space dimensional dimensions in which this energy flowed, and it started working out mathematically. Everything didn't work out, though. The more they work with it, they say, oh, yeah, but what about this? And so they had to add another one, which was time, another dimension, and then everything started fitting, and it also started bringing back the heavy gravity theories that were created by following that line of science. And out of all this came a new theory, which they call the M theory. And the M really stands for membrane, but they don't really like membrane, and I understand why, that they don't like the idea of membrane. And so they let the M sometimes stand for magic and sometimes stand for mystery, depending on who you're talking to and how he wants to use those terminology. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:14, we see, "But their minds were blinded, for until the day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts." Moses and Christ were in agreement. Moses had the veil pulled back and could see the other side. And not like Christ did, but he could see. And it is in the reading of Moses with the flesh and blood alone that the veil is not pulled back. But Christ pulled back the veil, ripped the veil, opened the veil. Nevertheless, it says, "When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Is he talking about other dimensions when he pulling back the veil between this dimension and the heavenly dimension so that the heavens open up? We hear these phrases, but we don't put them in the terms of science. But now we're hearing science use these same ideas of membranes instead of veils, a firmament. They see these other essences and not point particles, but some sort of divine string essence that is vibrating. How do you vibrate? When you speak, your larynx vibrates. And of course, in the beginning, God spoke and there was creation. And so what is really going on? What is really happening? And we see in the next verse, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, they're seeing things that they would not have seen otherwise. And what string theory is, they believe there is a smaller and smaller element. Now, particle elements, if you wanted to look at the basic particle elements, you're talking about 10 to the minus 19 meters, which is pretty dang small. I mean, you're not going to see that with a magnifying glass or even a microscope. We're going down pretty small. But string theory involves matter 10 to the minus 35 meters. That's unbelievably small, and we have no instruments in which to see that. But in their theories, they create this idea of this cousin of strings called supersymmetry. And they believe that if there is supersymmetry, there will be what they call these S particles, or sparticles, they call them. It's like, and they're trying to find the sparticles, kind of like trying to find Spartacus. And they're still small, but they think in these super colliders, like the Large Hadron Collider at CERN's, that they would see them. Well, they've done the tests already, and they didn't see the sparticles. And so they've concluded that it is more complex than they originally said. And I've mentioned on other programs what I believe is actually going on there. But it, again, we're correlate the purpose of going into this science isn't to fill your head with facts, and you're not going to remember bosons and Z bosons and sparticles and all these different terminology, and that's really not important. Some of you may find it fascinating who have the mental capacity to follow that, but we're trying to correlate this to the precepts of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom, because once you understand what's really going on, you can bring it down to the real world where you live, and where what's happening in your life will bring you closer to the kingdom of heaven, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of God. So anyway, the scientists, they came up with this Big Bang theory years ago, and it doesn't really fit, and they admit it. There has to be something even before the Big Bang. And what was it? And of course, with these multiple dimensions, is that the Big Bang was actually something that coming into existence in this realm. It already had a pre-existence in another realm, which we call spirit, and they call another membrane. We say it's on the other side of the veil, and they say it's on the other side of the membrane. So they're using the same precepts and concepts, but they don't want to talk about it. Actually, you will find some scientists correlating these idea of membrane universes or alternate dimensions on the other side of a membrane. And they call it membrane really not because it's on the other side of a veil, but because that it's all connected. Their math shows that everything is connected in the universe. But there are these multiple dimensions. And somehow those multiple dimensions are connected to our dimension through this thing we call the veil. And this, of course, is why string theory actually does work. And they haven't quite worked that out yet, at least not officially, not in the hierarchy yet. And I assume that some of the hierarchy, because a lot of them are atheists, are getting rather uncomfortable, because what we who understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or have some insight, because God has pulled back the veil a little bit so that we can talk about these things to lead you back to the kingdom. But you have to repent and turn around to get back there. And you have to change and be changed and be willing to be changed, because this is about liberty and choice. So you make a choice and then God changes you automatically. If you don't make that choice down in your spirit to receive him, you will be on another path where you will not have choices. You will be changed that way too. You're either going, it's about direction. Are you going towards the kingdom or towards that shadow of death, the darker realms? And what is the deciding factor that shows which way we're going? Well, of course, we have the Ten Commandments. If you're violating the Ten Commandments, you're not going towards the kingdom of God. You're going the other way. Thou shalt not kill. If you're killing, then you're going the wrong way. If thou shalt not covet, if you're coveting your neighbor's goods, then you're not headed towards the kingdom. You need to turn away from that and go the other way. They talk about these two membranes that are separate. And of course, we're going back to Satan now. He's gone separate with the third of the minions of heaven. He is his own light bearer. He is his own membrane. He's his own universe. Over here we call it hell. They just call it this other membrane. And somehow or other, these two membranes collided. And matter was created. And God formed the creation of the realm in which we live and divided the light from the dark, etc., etc. Many times before, you've heard me say that everything in this universe that we exist in has a corresponding spiritual reality in another universe. And there has been a conflict and collision between the realm of darkness, we call darkness because it's less than light, and the realm of light, which we call heaven. And in that, we are here on this planet, literally, which is a battlefield between good and evil. But we don't fight like other wars. We make a choice. Go towards the light or go towards the darkness. Hide from the truth like Adam and Eve did. They hid like Cain and went out of the presence of God. Or repent and go back in the presence of God. Admit and humble ourselves to righteousness. Now in Revelation 12:7 we see, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. This is the conflict of these two realms coming into conflict. And of course, this is part of what creation of the realm in which God created the heavens and the earth, which were already had a pre-existence, but it wasn't in the physical realm like we see today. We see this physical realm, and this is where the string theory comes in, is because there's these strings, minute little, you know, 10 to the minus 35 meter, tiny little strings, extremely, extremely small, beyond anything that we can measure, and they're taut. They're stretched as if one end is held by one realm and one end is held by another realm, and yet they're vibrating and creating a harmony, which creates the substance of which atoms are created, which protons and neutrons are created. This is far below protons and neutrons and bosons and Z bosons, etc. This is tiny. But it's the harmony of that stretching that creates this matter. Most scientists, or many scientists, believe that these alternate universes may not have matter like we have. We have this unique place where we have matter. And there's a lot more to this that I could say, and I'm not going to go into all of it. We're going to kind of clip along here a little bit faster. We can see in Daniel 10:12-13, from the first day that you set your heart on understanding, not knowledge, but understanding, and on humbling yourself before your God, like the prodigal son who wants to come back and humble himself before his father and be a servant in his father's house. When the day you do this, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. This is like the story of the prodigal son. He turned around, he started heading back, he hadn't gotten back, and his father runs out to meet him and feasts with him. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael of the chief prince came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Well, we're back in Persia, back in Babylon. And we need to turn around and want understanding and to do humble service. That's why I tell people, when they want to form congregations of record, you don't come asking, what can I get from this congregation of record? You come with, what can I bring in? How can I bless it? How can I bless others? How can I come and serve? Because then we're coming in the character of Christ, because Christ came to serve, not to be served. And I tell you, it will sing a new song in the strings of your heart. And we pray that song will be the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. to this realm we call heaven, this parallel dimension we call heaven, which is all around us. And all we have to do is have the veil pulled back and we will see it. And in the meantime, we can draw near it. You know, in those experiments, they did not, the Large Hadron Collider in CERN, they did not see the particles. Didn't mean that they weren't there. They didn't see them. Were they sucked into the other side? Or were they sucked into this side where you would see them in these collisions that they make? And you have to kind of understand how all that works, but I'm just asking the question to kind of, for those of you who can stimulate your thinking along these lines to understand them. How art thou fallen from heaven? He's separate from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Again, these stories that, you know, like I said, everything in the universe has a corresponding spiritual reality. So even though some of these stories in the Bible are actually about physical realities, they are a mirror of spiritual realities that have gone before. This is why movie makers can sometimes make movies that almost predict the future, because of the fact that they, in their mind's eye, have seen the future, looking for something to write about. They write about it. It's a great story. But it is a story of things to come, or things of the past, these principles. There once was a guy who worked in Hollywood, and he approved scripts, and he says there's only 11 stories. Every story is one of those 11 stories. Sometimes they overlap a little bit, but there's only 11 stories. He broke every story down into 11 basic formats, and that's all there was. And I thought it was kind of funny, because scientists have now broke everything down to 11 dimensions, and they're trying to find a unified formula that fits in all those dimensions, and they haven't quite figured it out yet, but they're working on it. And the fact is, there is a mathematical consistency to the creation, but it is better that flesh and blood doesn't reveal it. You'll have a better understanding. But anyway, if you like math, I suppose that's makes a living for a lot of mathematicians. But Psalms 113:6, how humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. In other words, they're the same, heaven and earth. You have a divine connection. The Aleph, the Yod, and the Vav, and the Yod is God. You can touch the understanding of God if you will reach out. He will reach out the other way and greet you and meet you and reveal to you the truth. And that's the truth you really want to know, because that's the truth of faith. And that is an unbreakable truth. That is what God builds his church, his kingdom. And as his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, now you're aligned with another force, a force of life. You are connected back to that source, that tree of life, that comforter of God. In Isaiah 25:6, it says, in the mountains shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy the mountain, in this mountain, the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. In other words, when you head back, you will start to receive revelation. When you start to receive that revelation, eat of it, act upon it, live according to it. If you start realizing that you have been coveting your neighbor's goods, stop. Stop the coveting. Start seeking a way in which you do not have to be a part of such systems. You must turn revelation into action, faith into works. You must. You won't be able to do enough work, but God will run out and meet you halfway. 1 Kings 19:18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Is that us? Is that what we need to be doing? We need to be drawing near to God by drawing near to one another so that we may love one another. And we're going to talk more and more about this. All things were created in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And we need to be moving in his ways. And we'll talk more about what that means when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God and the mysteries of the Kingdom of God and the Kingdom of Heaven and how it operates. And we're doing it to give you an insight in what you need to do in the real world where you live. In the Bible, it talks about heaven and hell, and it talks about pulling back the veil. And it talks about revelation, which is pulling back the veil so that you see that which is not seeable with the eyes that are between your ears, or hear with the ears that are on the side of your head. That these are spiritual eyes and spiritual ears in order to see a spiritual realm and a spiritual understanding of what's going on in your own world. This is so that you can become closer to the giver of life, the creator of all things. And there is an effort in the universe to get you to think and look in another direction and go another way that does not give life, but by its nature takes life from others. It's a vampire world, a werewolf world, a zombie world of death and destruction. And there are entities in that world that gain greater and greater power over people, and we see that played out in our own physical history. But if there is a spiritual realm outside of what we can see, the same precepts that we see played out in our physical world, and authors write about, and storytellers tell about, even if they are fictions, they carry with them the precepts of understanding that there are people that are bloodsuckers. They may not actually bite your neck and suck out the blood like vampires, but the reality is they feed on other people emotionally and spiritually. And there are other people that are murderers. And I mean, you hear about these heinous serial killers who kill in macabre and strange sort of ways. And where is the spirit or the precepts of those ideas coming from? They're coming from a spiritual desire to devour others. And this is necessary. When you cut yourself off from the source of life, then you must get life from others. And we eat plants and animals in order to nurture our physical body. Is the same precept going on in the spiritual realm as well? Yes, it is. But we're going to talk about that. And as I said, Albert Einstein brought up this idea of relativity, but it really didn't answer everything. So somebody came along with this idea of quantum. But quantum too, even though quantum mechanics, very interesting concept, it's almost spiritual in its nature. That they talk about things that are taking place in the universe that are really almost unexplained, and quantum supposedly explains it. Most people, when they hear mathematicians talking about quantum, they're not really following them, but they seem very smart, so we listen to them like they really know what they're talking about. And to some degree, they do, but there's an awful lot of faith in the operation of mathematics. I mean, they can see the math equations working out or not working out, but they really are dependent upon the values they give the symbols that they use in the formation of their equations. And those values are based on what we can observe in this realm. And what is so interesting, in order to answer all the questions, when they try to analyze it with relativity and with quantum, they have to come up eventually with the idea that there are other realms, other dimensions, parallel dimensions to our own. and scientists all across the board are agreeing that there must be parallel dimensions. Now, they don't all agree on exactly how those parallel dimensions are formed. But this quantum physics brings the perception of individuals and collectives, that there are items in existence that work as collectives, and there are items in existence that work as individuals. The theory of everything, this grand unification link of electromagnetism and gravitational forces, these magnetic forces and other forces and power in the universe, doesn't really fit into quantum mechanics alone. Quantum mechanics has a certain amount of point particle comprehension of the universe. But the problem is points appear and disappear. That there are, it is as if things come into existence and go out of existence, and they don't see the evidence of this passing and going other than the fact that things appear and disappear. They wonder if things can be in more than one place at the same time. But it's difficult. They're dealing with such minute particles, and they're doing a lot of guessing. There's a lot of faith work going on in modern science, because they see things happen and they say, well, what happened then? But they're dealing with minute events based on, you know, colliders and experimentation and putting arbitrary values on in formulas and trying to work it out. And if they come up with something that nobody can explain, everybody thinks they're really smart. And again, back to that politics of science. If someone accepts what you say because you have done the proper bowing down to the other hierarchy of science, then suddenly you will be held up as a genius, and what your hypothesis or your postulations will suddenly become sacrosanct. And they are discovering stuff, but we have to be very careful of accepting everything they say and drawing pictures from these facts. But what they finally come up with is this idea of string theory, which got real popular for a while and fell out of popularity, and then now they've gone back to it again. And string theory is the idea that there are not so much as point particles, but strings of something that vibrates, and these vibrations create everything. And those vibrations will actually affect other things nearby. Just as if you pluck one string on a guitar, it will actually cause, because of air and the fact that the guitar is all one instrument, it will actually get other strings reverberating simply by plucking the one, because the sound of the one affects the others. So anyway, this string theory didn't quite work until they started creating the idea of different dimensions. And they said that the math of that worked out. And they came up with 10 dimensions, and then an 11th dimension they added, which is time. And they say everything starts to fit together, but they still had some problems. And so they came up with what they call the M theory. And that's so new, you probably haven't heard about it. The M stands for membrane, but a lot of the scientists also use the M to stand for magic or mystery. But everything seems to, you know, that it's become this splendiferous term where, you know, it seems to make everything fit. And one of the reasons why they came back to this string theory and M theory is when they go with their Big Bang theory. And let's just pretend that Big Bang was actually God speaking things into existence. But they had a problem with the Big Bang theory. They didn't want to tell anybody because that's one of their religious beliefs, that there was this Big Bang. Nobody explains where the bang came from, and this is what one of the problems were, is where does this bang, what caused this Big Bang that began everything? And so it didn't give them this unified theory, and it had a problem with there was a particular term, and I can't think of it right now. The singularity, a problem with singularity in this Big Bang, because there wasn't, everything wasn't unified. They didn't know where, what caused the bang and all this stuff. You know, these guys come out with it and the news media just goes wild with the Big Bang Theory, and we see it everywhere on Time Magazine. But nobody's explained huge holes in the Big Bang Theory. But smart guys talk about it, so they write about it in the news like it's fact, even though they call it a theory. What they finally are coming up with is that in this membrane theory is that all these things that we see in creation are connected. They're connected by different things like gravity. You know, the gravity of the planet is reaching out millions, excuse me, it's reaching out millions of miles beyond our own planet. And we're, you know, like we're rotating around the sun. Whole planet rotating around the sun. You actually have a string of gravity, the force of gravity, pulling on every molecule, every atom of your body, all the way to the sun. There is a connection between you. And it's not just that, you know, we're in a bucket that's spinning around the sun, because that would mean that everybody facing the sun would be heavier. And everybody who was on the other side of the planet would have a tendency to want to fly off, because we're going around the sun at thousands of miles an hour. And we should be thrown to the ground as we go swinging around the sun, but we're not. It's literally that the gravity of the sun is reaching all the way out to our planet and pulling on every molecule and atom of your body. Every atom and molecule in the earth is being pulled towards the sun, so that the whole planet simultaneously and everything that's on it doesn't go whirling off into space. As we go hurling around as if tied by a single string, you know, you do that with a rubber ball and you tie a string to it and you can swing it around and swing it around and it pulls away all the time, and that's what's happening, except for the string that ties us to the sun is tied to every single atom in your body. And that's a long ways to reach with a single string of gravity pulling on you. And yet that seems to be what's happening. And is one of the parts of this theory is that they come to the conclusion that gravity is seemingly so strong, but yet such a weak force. I mean, you can take a refrigerator magnet and pick up, you know, a needle or a bobby pin or even a small piece of metal off of the table. Even though gravity is pulling it down to the table, the magnet just zips it right up off the table. Now that magnetic force doesn't reach out as far, but it reaches out and it pulls it up off the table. So it can be very strong nearby. But gravity doesn't seem to have that power. And so they were trying to figure out, okay, so why isn't gravity stronger? And the reason why is that, well, they tried to figure it from the fact that maybe the gravity is reaching out into these parallel dimensions, and that didn't work out. But then when they calculated it, that gravity doesn't necessarily begin in this dimension, but is actually reaching into this dimension, then suddenly it works out. So then that brings us to, in these parallel dimensions, there is another Earth. Exactly like our Earth. And Al Gore is not president. So, but it's in this other Earth. And if there's life there, it's walking around, but we're walking around there too. But if you, when you, people study the paranormal, they say that some people have this ability to see spirits that are walking around us all the time. And some people might have that ability. I can guarantee you a lot of the people who say they do are charlatans and liars and are just out to get your money. So if there's a credit card involved, get away from them. And you might want to get away from them anyway, because what is the point? Where are they leading you? And how do you know where you're going? There's a lot of dangerous things out there. But the point is this: these parallel dimensions that are supposedly out there, according to modern science, if what they're coming up with is more and more, they're showing that there's one dimension called heaven and another dimension called hell that we already knew about in the Bible, but they won't use those terms. They will use these other terms of parallel dimensions. I would assume that well, I won't go there, but anyway, if you look at like Revelation 12:7, it says, "And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Now, supposedly this all happened even before Earth, before the existence of Earth. And, you know, we can deal with translations at another time, but it goes on from the first day that, I won't read that out. That's in Daniel. Let me read that in a minute. But this idea, what they've now come up with in this string theory in these 11 dimensions, which there may be parallel universes is galore, not just 11 of them, but galore. I mean, layers and layers of it. And it's dependent upon this membrane, that each of these dimensions is like a membrane, all connected within it. But yet, let's go back to the string theory. Now, I haven't heard them say this, but I'll tell you this. They look at string theory as the somehow or other there's this matter that's elongated. And they believe it's connected in these membranes. And they see these electrons appearing and disappearing. And they think that they're sliding back and forth in the different dimensions. Now, they make the string in the membrane, and there may be this concept of string in the membrane. But if you've got something sliding back and forth between the two different dimensions, which is what science says they think they see, is there a string between that dimension that it goes to and the dimension that it's in? And that pull before it slips into the other dimension is actually a string between those two dimensions. And it is that string that vibrates. And then that causes the membrane to vibrate and causes existence. Now, I'll tell you why I said that. I don't know if you can draw that picture. And remember, if you draw a picture of this in your mind, that's not the same thing as reality. That's what you imagine reality to be. So guard yourself against getting fixed into these images. There's a reason why I'm going through these images, and it's to take you to understand how the kingdom actually works and how you should be working in the kingdom. But anyway, this idea of trying to figure out the Big Bang is they thought that there was this membrane of existence before physical existence came into being that was connected and interacting and at peace and moving, floating gently in the universe. Now, this is the way they draw the image, the scientists. And that there was suddenly two different membranes that were floating in this, but they are all vibrating, constantly moving within there, independent, and that they came into conflict with each other, and this is where the universe was created. Now, this is their imagery. This is the way they... the universe, the physical universe that we exist in, it was when these two separate membranes collided in a kind of a giant wave, and this allowed them to come up with all their calculations that supposedly are working this week. We don't know what they're going to discover next week. But of course, if we go back to Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, was this the two membranes? We know the devil supposedly went out of the presence of God, just like Cain went out of the presence of God, but in another realm, and departed from what? Heaven? From the membrane of heaven, if we want to use scientific terms. And they were still in existence, but they had their own existence. And did they come into conflict? And in that conflict, reality was created. This physical reality was created. Now, this doesn't... God is still creating everything. God is still the instrument. These are the forces, those that align themselves with the love of God and those that align themselves with something less than the love of God, which is what Satan is. Satan, because he cuts himself off from God, he must have his minions love him, provide him with energy. He is the light bearer. He brings his own light, because he is not connected to the light. He's separated his membrane, his universe, from God's universe. But he's still within all of whatever God's universe encompasses. But separated from those that were connected directly to God in this tree of life. So anyway, that's kind of imagery. I believe the Bible is actually talking about these same things that scientists are discovering. Scientists who won't read the Bible are actually beginning to discover, and they're actually talking about it. In Daniel, I was going to read Daniel 10, 12, 13. From the first day that you set your heart on understanding and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Okay, now this is really... You've heard me talk before that because we went whoring after other gods, because we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because we decided to decide for ourselves what was right and wrong, because we sought power over our brethren, because we elected kings, God said, I will not hear you in that day. But here in Daniel, and people always want to read Daniel and they want to know about a prophecy in so many thousand years that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Forget all that. I mean, it's there, it's important to some degree, but you're getting fixated on these ideas that you can figure out prophecy and revelation and then you'll have an edge. That's not where the edge comes from. From the first day that you set your heart on understanding and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. You have to bow down to God of heaven, to the righteousness of God, in order to stand up as a free man. That is critical. It isn't paperwork. It isn't oaths. It isn't affirmations. It isn't ID cards. It isn't contracts. It's humbling yourself before understanding. And to understand God, you must understand His love, His willingness to give His life that ye may have life. Are you willing to give your life for your neighbor that he may have life more abundant? Well, then your words may be heard. If you're interested in taking life from your neighbor, then your words will not be heard. You will be more connected to another realm. You will be more compatible with the other membrane, with the other dimension, the dimension of hell, where one devours another. If you are trying to save your life, you will likely lose it. But if you're willing to give up your life for His sake, you may have life more abundant. Now in Genesis 28:12, we see, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. Now when we say ladder, you can draw a picture of a ladder, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's exactly what it looked like. These are the terms that he had to describe what he's seen. Set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. So in other words, if there is such a ladder, is there another ladder that reaches down to hell? Nobody ever thinks about that. And its angels ascend and descend too. And where they meet, where they come into conflict. Now the question is, what ladder do you want to go? You want to go up the up ladder or the down ladder? And how do you go up the up ladder? You're not going to get up the up ladder unless you do that humbling yourself. And realize you can't figure it out. This is what's dangerous about talking about these intellectual concepts, is that you may begin to think that you can figure it out. You can't figure it out. But it can be revealed to you. And the way you go about it is seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness in your relationships with everyone else all around about you. And then the ladder will be revealed to you. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.